This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and Vantage Health Plan provide signature support for our program. We're pleased you're starting your week with us. The number is 877-217-5757. Our email, talk at talklouisiana.org. 36 days away from the election. Tomorrow night in Cleveland, Joe Biden and Donald Trump will square off in the first of three debates. And we're going to talk about the lay of the land, mostly national today. And oh, by the way, there is a special session beginning today in which the Republican-controlled House will try its best, it appears, to strip Governor Edwards of his power during the pandemic. And the state is in doldrums with the Saints losing last night, 37-30 to Green Bay, 1-2 for New Orleans to start the NFL season, and LSU, 16-game winning streak, defending national champs, and the Tigers took it on the chin in an embarrassing game against Mississippi State, losing 44-34 as Mississippi State quarterback K.J. Costello fired for an SEC record 623 yards in his debut. And as great as Joe Burrow was, his high at LSU was 493 yards passing. Costello reached the 623 mark, 130 yards more than Joe Burrow ever passed for in his stellar career at LSU. 877-217-5757. 36 days away from an election, and the New York Times has a poll, which we will look at as we move along today, showing Joe Biden 8 points ahead. But if Biden does become the president, it appears that he will have a Republican-controlled Supreme Court to deal with. And of the last 27 justices appointed by U.S. presidents, 19 of them have been appointed by Republican presidents. So this is nothing new, but it is new for the state of Louisiana. Amy Coney Barrett, the pride of Metairie, graduate of St. Mary's Dominican in New Orleans, is the choice of the president, 48 years old. So if she's confirmed, she will be on the court for a very long time. And there is a $40 million advertising blitz to sway opinion on Barrett. It appears the votes are there for Amy Coney Barrett to become the justice, the 115th Supreme Court justice. And we'll start with Quinn Hillier on the right side of the political spectrum, Melissa Flournoy, his worthy opponent on the left, and on Donald Trump, they actually agree on a lot, but on some things they probably disagree, and my guess is one of those is Amy Coney Barrett and her suitability for the court. And Quinn Hillier, there are two questions right now at stake. There's the process, and there's the suitability, the qualifications of Amy Coney Barrett. How do you view the process, number one, and secondly, whether she is qualified to be a justice of the high court?
Well, let me answer the second question first, and that is an absolute overwhelming yes, and I dare any honest Democrat even to say otherwise. She is one of the most exquisitely well-qualified people we have ever seen nominated for the court, for the Supreme Court. I mean, I could go right down her list of qualifications, but I won't. The first question was, what, should she be appointed now because it's so late? Is that your first question?
Well, and also after, of course, McConnell and Graham and many other Republicans said they would never vote for a justice in an election year, and now they've had a change of heart.
Graham said that. McConnell did not say that. What McConnell said from the very start, and what most of us who were conservative court watchers said, was that going by the so-called Biden rule, which was reiterated by Schumer, that no Supreme Court justice nominated in a presidential election year, the last year of a term, when the White House and the Senate are in opposite parties, should be appointed. And that is basic, sort of based on political theory, that the public has not made its will clear for those 2 years because they have given you divided government. If they have made their will clear for those 2 years by giving unified government, then it makes absolute sense to go ahead and confirm the nominee. That's actually exactly what McConnell said in 2016. He's sticking to it, and I'm sticking to it.
All right. But as we know, Donald Trump didn't get the most votes in the election. He got the most electoral votes. And when you look around the country, Democrats have received more votes for U.S. Senate seats than have Republicans, but Republicans have control of the Senate. So even though the Republicans have the Senate and the White House, it's by the thinnest of margins. Melissa Flournoy, does this really matter, or is this a foregone conclusion, and should we move on down the line and let this fine person from the great state of Louisiana become a Supreme Court justice without opposition? What do you think?
Well, I actually think that, you know, and good morning, Jim, good morning, Quinn, sort of this tortured approach to trying to justify jamming through this nominee, 30 days before an election is just ridiculous and hypocritical. So, you know, the efforts of 2016, you had a perfectly competent, very highly qualified judge in Merrick Garland, who was nominated in, you know, February of 2016, and the Senate stalled on him literally for the remainder of that whole year. And so I actually hope that the process will be delayed until after the election. I think that's the appropriate thing to do. If people are confident that Donald Trump is going to get reelected, where's the hurry? And that everybody ought to just take a deep breath. This is a really important position on the Supreme Court, and it ought to be given all the appropriate time for an appropriate confirmation process. So I say slow the train down.
All right. Well, today on the other topic, and we will dart back and forth here, but on the other topic, the New York Times has secured most of the president's tax returns that he has steadfastly declined to present over the last 5 years. And they show that the president is a man who is in deep debt. He owes almost $1 billion that is due in the next 4 years. And that for 10 years he paid no taxes. His first year as president, he paid $750 in taxes. Because he had so many losses, whether they were real or on paper, he only paid that amount of taxes, and he is not the businessman that he is proclaimed to be. But nonetheless, when we look at the polling from the New York Times, Joe Biden's ahead by 8 points right now, but here's the perhaps the silver lining for President Trump. Do you approve of the way Donald Trump is handling the economy? 54% of the respondents, Melissa Flournoy, say they approve, 42% say they disapprove. Why are the American people in the president's corner when it comes to his handling of the economy?
Well, I wish I knew the answer to that, Jim. That's a heck of a question. I think the economy was doing very well before the pandemic. I think the only thing we feel now is pain, high unemployment, people without unemployment benefits, lines at the food bank. I mean, right now the economy has just been traumatized. And so I have no idea why folks still have confidence in the president. I wish that they would help real normal people out here struggling to make the rent and buy the groceries.
All right. Well, the president hasn't done a good job with his own personal finances. That's apparent by his tax returns. And the president, as we know, has a historic deficit in debt that exceeds any other president. And the economy was not doing all that great before the COVID-19 breakout. The stock market was doing well, but not as well as it did under Obama. But yet the American people, by 12 percentage points, say they approve of the way he's handling the economy. Now, Quinn Hillier, I'm sure as Rudy Giuliani and Chris Christie are trying to prep the president for tomorrow night's debate, they're doing what James Carville did, saying just hammer away at the economy and forget all the other stuff and see what happens. Does the president have a case to make to the American people?
Well, yes, he does, although the simplistic case for him is a lot stronger than the complicated case on the economy. But there's no way to say the economy on the top line numbers wasn't spectacularly good before COVID-19. The combination of unemployment rate and inflation rate was the lowest it's been in 60 years, or maybe even more, but certainly since 1960. You know, unemployment was below 4%, or right around 4%. It was jumping back between 3.9 and 4.2.
But it had dropped precipitously under Obama. And
no, it never dropped precipitously under Obama. It was a very long, slow recovery.
Precipitously from where it was when he left, from where it was when he started. And, of course, economic growth was not strong during the first 4 years, 3 years of the presidency of Donald John Trump. Even though the other numbers, as Quinn points out, they were good. They were good, but not as good as the president would like to make the case. But we'll see what happens, and we'll talk more in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, 877-217-5757. Unemployment rate, by the way, in 2009, when President Obama took office, was right at 10%. When he left, it was at 4.9%, and it got down to 3.7% under Donald Trump. But no doubt about it, Obama did a great job in reducing unemployment. But the president, remember, the same president who now takes credit for the good unemployment numbers before the pandemic, said the numbers weren't real, that the real number was 20%. Remember when he said that in 2016? 877-217-5757 for Quinn Hillier and for Melissa Flournoy. Doug on Highland. Doug, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. Yes, it's an important point that the economy was not actually that great. And we could take time to talk about things like the number of farm bankruptcies going up thanks to these trade wars, which were launched in kind of a chaotic fashion. But, you know, we're in a constitutional crisis, and we're heading for an election crisis. So the air of normality that we're in is a very unreal one if we're talking about just the politics of this. We are in an unprecedented situation where we have a president who will not commit to a peaceful transfer of power and is openly trying to derail and disrupt the electoral process and voting. We've never had that happen. So we're in trouble, and it's probably going to get a lot uglier, and nobody knows how it's going to end up.
All right, we'll get Quinn and Melissa to respond, but last week the president received a great deal of attention for saying that he might not leave peacefully if he didn't win the election, saying that he suspected there would be fraud, anticipated fraud, and that he would not stand for it, and that if he felt like he was a victim of that, that he would not leave the office, no matter what the outcome. Quinn Hillier, was the president just bloviating, or do you think he's really serious about this?
I really don't know. There is a much heightened chance under today's circumstances for voter fraud than usual. That does not excuse the president saying what he did about the transfer of power, nor does it excuse Hillary Clinton for having said the exact same thing about 3 weeks earlier. Both sides need to cool it. Both sides need to work to make sure that A, people can vote, but B, there is no fraud, and that the American people have reason to have confidence in the election. Both sides should be working toward that end rather than just standing back and yelling that the other side is cheating.
All right, Melissa Flournoy, the president, of course, when he says things like this, I think he knows exactly the response he's going to get, particularly from people on the left side of the political spectrum. Do you think he takes delight in stirring up his opposition?
Oh, I think he's crazy like a fox, Jim. I think that there are days when I question his mental health and his stability, and then there are other days that I think he's a Machiavellian genius. But I agree with Quinn. I think this is an important, I have never worried about the country until right now. You know, I think that the Bush v. Gore decision was decided wrongly by the Supreme Court, and I think George Bush stopped the vote count in Florida in the year 2000, and I think that was an egregious error. And so I think we're about to see an election trying to be stolen from the people of the country. And so I think we need to be worried about protecting the elections. I think the president, if he had any sense at all, would dial down this rhetoric. But I think he wants blood in the streets. So I'm very concerned about this.
All right, listener. Tracy at the Capitol notes that Amy Coney Barrett will be the sixth justice on the current court to be a Roman Catholic. And one of the others, the first one, Gorsuch, appointed by the president, Neil Gorsuch, was educated at Catholic schools. So there are no real evangelical Protestants on the court. The other two justices, Kagan and Breyer, are Jewish. Melissa, has the president neglected his conservative evangelical flock by not putting any hardcore evangelical conservatives on the court?
Well, I frankly was surprised that he hasn't done that, Jim. So so I think, yes, I think we're ending up with Sonia Sotomayor as Catholic and five white guys. And I guess, you know, that's just
Thomas is Catholic, too.
Interesting.
Clarence Thomas is Catholic.
Oh, he is? Okay. Well, so, you know, one of the things I worry about is that we really do need to protect separation of church and state. We do need to understand the role of the Supreme Court. And we do need to understand what's at stake for the country. And so I think the next 50 days, 40 days to the election and immediately after the election are going to be critical for the future of the republic.
All right. Quinn, you can bite on the Supreme Court if you want, but here's one from Mark in the Garden District. He says, if the president thinks veterans are suckers and losers, imagine what he would say about people who pay taxes. Like most of the middle class, are we suckers and losers too, Quinn Hillier?
Well, according to Donald Trump, at one point or another, he has pretty much covered the entire nation by calling them suckers and losers. He thinks everybody is a sucker and a loser except himself. That's what happens if you actually add up all the different times, all the different categories of people he's called suckers and losers. Look, what he has done in lying about his finances, hiding his finances, and also gaming the system is disgusting. But a lot of what he has done is disgusting, despicable, et cetera, et cetera. And I guess, you know, about half of the American people doesn't care about that. And if they do look at the results, I'm going to argue that at the surface, the results have been actually pretty good on the economic level. We can go back to that. But, yes, he does think a lot of us are suckers and losers.
Dan downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Dan.
Yes. Hi. Yeah, Ms. Flournoy, could the poll numbers for Trump on the economy be attributed to the populace simply being more familiar with the goings-ons of the Cardassians than any understanding of economic consequences of decisions on trade and monetary policy?
All right. Melissa, the American people largely are ignorant about the economy, not knowing the difference, for example, between the debt and the deficit. But on the other hand, we do have our own personal finances, and if we're not doing well personally, usually we blame the president of the United States. That's human nature. So the fact that 54% of the American people in this New York Times poll say that Trump is handling the economy well, I think is a significant number for him.
I think it is a significant number. I think folks who answer polls sometimes don't understand the questions, but I'm not quite sure what it's attributable to, but I want to know if Quinn's voting for Donald Trump because he just called him a despicable liar who thinks everybody's a loser and a sucker, and I don't think he respects him. So I'm really clear that I don't support Donald
Trump.
All
right, well,
and so,
Quinn, earlier, and I don't know if you've changed your mind, and I'm not putting words in your mouth. I just remember what you said. You wrote in Mike Pence last time, I believe, is your choice. Is that what you're going to do this time?
Yes, it is. I was one of the original Never Trumpers. I remain a Never Trumper, and I will not vote for him under any circumstances. I live in Alabama. He's going to carry Alabama anyway, but I am going to write in the name of Mike Pence as president.
Well, and we're going to talk another segment with Quinn and Melissa, but the numbers for the economy and the president's handling of it have been consistently in favor of the president. There is no doubt the American people, a majority, even though a majority also dislikes the president, they like the way he's handling the economy. And the same poll also shows that 56% of the American people don't think he's handling the coronavirus well. 43%, actually 41% approve of the way he's handling, 56% disapprove. So tomorrow night in Cleveland, when the gloves come off, I would suspect that Joe Biden will be talking a lot about the president's, quote, mishandling of the coronavirus, and the president will be talking about the economic miracle that was in place, according to him, before the pandemic and will soon be back after we get a vaccine and everything is hunky-dory again. We'll talk more. 877-217-5757. We'll start with David in Atlanta when we return after this pause for the news on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Engster. Thanks for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing, and two of our favorite guests, Gwen Hillier on the right in Mobile, Alabama, ranking conservative columnist and commentator, and Melissa Flournoy on the left, former head of Louisiana Progress, former state lawmaker. And joining us today from the lovely city of San Francisco, 877-217-5757. We will have a line open after we dispense with David in Atlanta, who's been waiting very patiently. David, I know you have much on your mind. What's going on with you and your question to our guest today?
Well, my question is, how can somebody not know that favoring Trump for the economy is actually uninformed and ignorant? I'll give you the facts. President Obama's second term in office, if you compare the first 3 years and his second term to Trump's first 3 years, there was 6 million jobs created under Trump. There were 8 million created under Obama.
Okay. I believe what you're saying, but let's just leave it at that, that Obama did a good job with the economy, and Trump can make a case that he did a good job, although not as good as Obama. When you look at the raw numbers, but sometimes, as we know, there's more to it than that. But, David, anything else for our guests?
Well, yeah, how can somebody be a loyal American and not demand Trump disclose who he owes all this money to? It didn't come from the American banks, evidently. So it may have been laundered through Deutsche Bank by Russian oligarchs controlled by Vladimir Putin, which makes Trump a perfect blackmail person. So we need to demand who he owes this money to.
All right. Well, we were demanding that he present his tax returns, and somebody presented them. And it could even be the president who leaked this, because there are parts of this that are favorable to Trump. And one of those is that there is no, as far as we know, no direct link on paper of the president having dealings with Russia. And many thought there might be, and thought that might be why he was hiding these tax returns. But what it does show, Quinn Hillier, is that he's not a very good businessman. He's loaded with debt. He's in big trouble. And he is using his office to try to address his own financial problems. And that is an issue that I'm sure Joe Biden will focus upon tomorrow night.
Actually, this doesn't show that he's using his office to address his own financial problems. But it does show that on paper he is loaded in debt, which is what some of us were saying 4 years ago. All the tea leaves pointed in that direction. This is confirmation of what we knew, that he is a snake oil salesman and a front man. But you know, the American people need to try to figure out what they want going forward. And half of the American people so far have said basically, you know, whatever Trump does, whatever his background, they like him as president. Whether they still will, I don't know. But a lot of this stuff, people just shake their heads and they've already made up their minds.
All right. Well, one of the big perks of the president is that old post office, which is now the Trump International Hotel. And it is the most expensive hotel in Washington by far to stay in, and a lot of dignitaries stay there, currying favor with our president. But on paper, it shows that it's been a big loss for him, that it has not been a successful venture. And Melissa Flournoy, one investment after the other, shows that the president is perhaps not even a billionaire. He loses money on most of his businesses, and as we know, has gone bankrupt 6 times. How can he make the case? It's the old line from Jonathan Edwards' song Sunshine, if you can't run your own life, I'll be damned if you're going to run mine. How can he make a case that he's a good steward of the economy and of money when he has such personal problems handling his own money?
Well, he's P.T. Barnum. He's a showman. I mean, you know, he's a con man. He's, Quinn just called him a snake oil salesman. I mean, you know, we know he's a liar, he's a cheater, he's a con man. We know that he's buffaloed the American people. We know that he's created this fake persona and then spent his entire career, you know, selling it as a great businessman. And I think he's in a dead panic because, you know, he's getting stripped away. The veneer is getting stripped away. And I'm really worried because he is in a panic because he's not rich, he's not smart, he's not a great businessman, and people are catching on.
All right, but as we know from Donald Trump, his great strength is that he just keeps on coming. He doesn't stop. Let's go to Patrick in Ennis-Walda States. Patrick, you're on with Melissa and Quinn. Good morning.
Hey, just real quick, anyone in real estate is going to be in a lot of debt. They take the money that they make, and they pay that debt off. They pay the banks. They pay everybody that's invested in that. But anyway, I want to get to my real point, and that is this question that he doesn't concede the election. One, this question is not being asked to Biden. Two, you ask anyone in the race. Let's take the Kentucky Derby and someone and the top contender. You're going to ask them, well, are you going to concede the race if you lose? Anyone in a race is not going to even answer that question because they're in it to win the race.
All right, but if you lose, you accept the score if you're a coach. You accept the score if you're a candidate. And Albert Gore lost the presidential election by 537 votes in Florida, even though he won the overall vote. Florida would have given him the presidency, and a recount was stopped by the Supreme Court on a 5-4 vote. Do you really think, Melissa Flournoy, that if the same thing happened to Donald Trump, Melissa Flournoy, that the president would do what Al Gore did and say, it's time for me to go?
No. And I think that's what I'm most concerned about, and I think that's why they're trying to jam through this Supreme Court nominee to try and protect the election if it goes to the Supreme Court. And if they are able to get the nominee through, I hope the nominee has enough sense to recuse herself if we're in a Bush v. Gore scenario.
All right. James in Metairie's been waiting very patiently. James, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Quinn and Melissa. Hi.
Hi, Jim. Thank you very much. By the way, they're making excuses about Trump already. They say, oh, every real estate developer loses money. That's the line you're going to be hearing today. Something that is disturbing to me greatly is what came out recently concerning a 2006 commencement speech that Amy Coney Barrett made to Notre Dame Law School. And you've seen this, Jim. It says, keep in mind, quote, keep in mind that your legal career is but a means to an end, and that end is building the kingdom of God. Imagine if a Muslim said that running for president. Let's establish the kingdom of Allah. Will that go over? We have but one real kingdom. Oh, there's the United Kingdom, but it's called the animal kingdom.
All right. Gwen Hilliard, is there anything wrong with professing a devotion to a higher power, even if it's from a Supreme Court justice?
Nothing wrong whatsoever, and that quote is taken out of context and certainly out of without understanding of what people of faith believe or people of traditional faith believe. I'm not going to get into a theological discussion here, but there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. She is saying that anything she does in her life is trying to make a better world, and trying to make a better world is trying to serve the kingdom of God.
Leonard on Airline. Leonard, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Yeah, how y'all doing today?
Fine. What's your question, Leonard?
Do y'all think that all Trump supporters are from the United States? Because I've been hearing that some of these people have been coming over from Turkey.
All right. I think you're going places that we don't need to go. We got a lot on the plate, but there is no widespread activity involving foreign people interfering in our elections on our home turf. Now, they're doing it from afar. We know that, Russia in particular, China probably. But I'd rather talk about some other matters with our remaining time with Quinn and with Melissa. And a poll, the same poll from the New York Times, Melissa, shows the race right now, even among men, Trump and Biden, but women have a 16-point advantage for Biden. Why do you think that's the case, Melissa Fornoy? Why is Joe Biden doing so well among women and Donald Trump doing so poorly?
I think women are just tired of him. I think the women who voted for him in 2016, I think some of those are breaking for Biden this go-round. And I think that these are smart, competent, talented women who care about the future of the country. And I think they're concerned by the rhetoric, the heat, the potential for violence, and are just frankly turned off by the bravado of Trump. So,
all right. Now, will the appointment, Quinn, of Amy Coney Barrett help the president with the gender gap?
It depends on how the Democrats play it. If they go all out in personal attacks on her, there could be a serious backlash in her favor, and some of it will rub off in Trump's favor. If the Democrats are smart, they will complain about the process, but they will not attack this wonderful lady personally. So a lot of this has to do with how the Democrats play it.
What about the election? We've got about a minute to go. Ask both of you. How do you see it 36 days out?
Well, until the tax returns came out, even though I detest Trump, I had Trump eking out another win. Now, I think it's a toss-up.
A toss-up. Melissa, the election? Quinn says a toss-up.
I think Biden will win legitimately and conclusively, and I think Biden will be our next president, and people need to get out and vote and protect democracy and protect the country. Vote for that honorable man who's a decent, kind Christian man that you can respect. And I think people are craving respectability and confidence, and they want to get off the Trump train.
Thank you, Melissa Fornoy. Thank you, Quinn Hillier. We'll hopefully hear from both of you before the election. We are 5 weeks and one day away, and tomorrow, the first debate. 877-217-5757, your number, back after this timeout with more Talk Louisiana.